This is the PW Torch live cast for Friday, April the 29th, 2016. A few years ago, I came home from school. I'm a school teacher. Come home from school, and I'm not really the type anymore that comes home and turns on the television. I don't know what it is. It's not like I'm a better person or anything. I just kind of got out of the habit of it. But on this day, I turned on the TV and watched Jerry Springer. I don't know why exactly. Got nothing, again, not a good enough person to like look down on Jerry Springer. It's just that once you've seen one of them, you've seen them all. Once you get the hook, it's over. And so, you know, there's nothing much to see. And so anyway, but I watched it, turned it on, and look over at the screen, and it's this story about, and it's obviously a work. It's a story about two guys at the old folks' home that are having a big love triangle battle over this woman who also lives in the old folks' home. And they show the woman, and she's, you know, they say she's 70 years old, and she's, I don't know, 85 if she's a day, and not exactly a looker. And then I look at the two men, and I'm like, damn, that's Harry White. Harry White's this guy. If you know guys like this or people like this, but guys usually like this, where they're of an they look like they're of an indeterminate age. He sort of looked like Steve Martin, bald, you know, like wispy gray hair, but you know, face with no wrinkles and all that kind of stuff. And he was a guy that I met going to pay-per-view shows 20, 25 years ago in Florida and in Baltimore. He was part of a unofficial group of fans that traveled to wrestling shows back then. This was before the internet. And you would see his name in various newsletters, particularly the Wrestling Observer. And he had the driest wit. He was really funny. He knew his, particularly St. Louis wrestling. He was from Missouri area. And he was, you know, really cool. And he ended up somehow owning the famous Missouri state title, which was defended in Sam Muchnick's famous St. Louis Wrestling Club shows. And it was always the stepping stone to the NWA Heavyweight Championship. And pretty much a who's who of wrestlers owned, got that title. Well, St. Louis, as a lot of those companies did, went out of business with the changes in wrestling that came in the 80s. And somehow Harry White, who had worked as, you know, was just a real fan, but ended up working as a timekeeper for the St. Louis promotion and working for independent promotions, and got his hands on the Missouri state belt. And so it's just like, hey, you want to see the Missouri state belt? Sure. And looking at it, and the little plates on the side, it's clearly it, and the little plates on the side are falling off. And it wasn't that big a deal. I mean, it was a big deal, but now the world's changed in those 25 years, and I don't know who has the Missouri state belt. I hope that Harry was able to sell it for a decent amount of change, because now the market and historical value on items like that from wrestling's glory days has, between the collectors in Japan and the collectors in the United States, has gone up, skyrocketed. It's you know, it's an obsession for people who have the means to get those things. So anyway, and then just sitting with him, listening to him, and he played some tapes of, he was playing commissioner for an indie promotion much smaller than Sam Muchnick's St. Louis Wrestling Club, and just very dryly just taking the piss out of the promoter. I mean, it was just hilarious. He knew how to sell his jokes. He knew how to do that. And you know, a guy that everybody was friends with, good guy, and hadn't seen him. If you're a wrestling fan, I mean, I'm going all over the place, but if you're a wrestling fan and involved in it the way listeners to this show are, the way Torch VIP members are, and those of us that work at the Torch, you meet a lot of wrestling fans. And it's been my experience, you meet some of the dumbest, worst, most damaged people you'll ever see as wrestling fans. And you also meet some of the smartest, best, most educated, centered, cool people that you'll ever meet. And you meet people along that from the lowest to the highest along that spectrum, all over that spectrum. And Harry was clearly of the highest. So anyway, to get back to Jerry Springer, look up, that's Harry White. Well, as far as I know, Harry White isn't living in an old folks home. He's not old enough to live in an old folks home. But he's playing this role, and he's yelling at his romantic rival, and he kicks his feet and his shoe goes flying off into the audience. And then he's so angry they start yelling at each other, and the woman kind of gets between them. I haven't seen this in a while, but the woman kind of gets between them, and he gets so mad he takes his toupee off and throws it too. Well, Harry that I knew of didn't wear a toupee, and of course he didn't. It was just something to do for Jerry Springer, and it turned out. So I called up the one person I figured would know, and very dry, so I was like, Dave, I just saw Harry White. I think I just saw Harry White on Jerry Springer. Dave being dry too. Oh yeah, he told me he was going to be on Jerry Springer. So that was one of the funniest, coolest things. And I just happened to turn it on to see that. I mean, there are people in wrestling that have been on Jerry Springer, Missy Hyatt and Jamie Dundee played roles on it. And basically the deal was you get $200 and and a nice hotel room in Chicago where they film it. And I guess I guess every once in a while some of that stuff is real. I don't know. But and Jerry doesn't care. It's just they put it together. They've got to fill their hour and all that stuff. So but Harry was really cool. But didn't see Harry for a long time. And then Wade Keller, I should say of all people, but anyway, Wade Keller, editor publisher of the PW Torch of PW Torch, PWTorch.com, PWTorch.com/govip gets inducted into the Wrestling Hall of Fame in Waterloo, Iowa last summer. And so that's a really it turned to be a really cool trip. And so I go to Minneapolis to Wade's and hang out with his family, and we go to a Minnesota Timberwolves scrimmage that was really cool, sat right up front. Go to a Minnesota Twins game, and then we drove down to Waterloo, Iowa. Part of the country, being southeastern boy, southern boy, not all that familiar with the flyover states, and so that was really cool. And we get there, and we go over to the museum, the Hall of Fame, not a museum, but the Hall of Fame, which it really is a museum, a combination of amateur wrestling and professional wrestling, and something any wrestling fan should really take the time to go see. And walk in, and I'm looking around, and sure as shit, there's Harry White. And so go over, start talking to him. And Wade and I both kind of had the same reaction, which is, damn, Harry White. So we did the functions, we go to the hotel. We go back to the hotel where everyone's staying, and he's there. And Wade and I hang out with him, and then we realize we haven't eaten anything. So Vegan Wade decides we're going to Burger King. We just walk down the street just looking for something because neither one have been, no, none of the three of us have been to Iowa, New Waterloo, or any of that kind of stuff. And so we're just walking down the street. All right, Burger King, 11 o'clock at night. We're tired. What the hell? And hung out with Harry and got to hang out with him some. More after that, still the same dry wit, still really knowledgeable, just a great guy. Just exchanged wrestling books, hung out. It's good to see him again. And then found the news today that he had passed away. So one of the reasons I do enjoy going to these kind of legends fan fests, those kind of things, the wrestlers who took the dam, who took a lot of damage, who did a lot to entertain us, to favorites and not so favorites and all that, but to see them, because that's your opportunity to see them. I didn't know if Harry was sick then. I have no idea how he passed away, but I know that I'm gonna miss him. I know that a lot of people thought the world of the guy, and just I'm so happy. I mean, I was happy to go to Waterloo, Iowa for a lot of reasons, and the experience there to eat dinner with Jim Londos's daughter and Luthez's widow, and just a lot of to see Wade, honestly, to see Wade be inducted into this, and to see the type of journalism that we do finally get that credit. It was really cool. And so anyway, and of course Dave Meltzer, the Dave who I called to go, damn, was that Harry White? Is getting inducted this year, but I'm so happy I got to spend some time with Harry White before he passed, and that was really cool.
If you're like me, you've got a list of favorite websites and a list of favorite podcasts that you visit either every day or throughout the week, but there's probably not a lot of crossover between the two. However, with PW Torch Livecast, that's different. If you're a listener of this show, you should also be visiting our main website, pwtorch.com, loaded with updates covering news in more depth than you'll find anywhere else. Editorials you won't find anywhere else, live TV coverage and pay-per-view coverage that's unmatched, and so much more on a newly redesigned, optimized, lightning-fast website. That's pwtorch.com. Check it out every day and bookmark it. No matter what device you're using, whether it's a mobile phone, a tablet, a laptop, or a desktop, there's a version that fits your screen and customized for your device. Check it out, pwtorch.com, one of the top sources of pro wrestling insider news since 1987 and online as a website since 1999. Don't miss out. Don't just listen to the live cast. In between live cast listens or while you're listening to the live cast, check out the latest headlines and exclusive articles at pwtorch.com.
All right, go ahead and join up with Travis Bryant. Thank you for indulging me with that, if you did indulge me with that. So, Travis, what's going on?
What's happening, Bruce? Live cast audience, what up?
Good deal. So we're rolling into WWE Payback, and when you know, some of the lowest ratings ever, not a great go-home show, a disconnect between good wrestling and audience, and the audience being into it, I think part of it is the context. Even though I really am enjoying the AJ Styles Mystery Theater thing with the Balor Bullet Club, and you know, Roman Reigns kind of being the stand-in for it. But you look at the lineup on that show, and it's a good lineup.
Yeah, it's the one thing as far as excitement about the pay-per-view. More than WrestleMania. Like, you look on paper, it's like, going into WrestleMania, it was like, ooh, this is going to be rough, or has the potential to be rough. This, you're like, oh, you expect 2 hours and 45 minutes, 3 hours of really good action, and a launching point of other things, you assume, one would assume.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, yeah, and to me, that's part of, when you pay for the WWE Network, or when you buy a pay-per-view or go to a big show and spend the money, then yeah, you should see the matches, but they should have some consequence, and there should be some storyline developments where you go, damn, I'm glad I saw this. And I got to see it first because I paid up, you know, I paid my dues, I paid my money. And, you know, clearly I don't think anyone's expecting, I think a lot of people like to see it, but I don't think anyone's expecting it. AJ Styles beating Roman Reigns for the WWE title, but there's a lot, you know, however it turns out, there's a lot of intrigue in, there's a lot of intrigue in what's going on with AJ Styles and what's going on with Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows. And where's Finn Balor, who just lost the NXT championship? Where does he fit into all this? And so, pretty cool. I mean, I think that's a good thing. I should say, you know, the McMahons are bigger than anything in wrestling, or bigger than anything in culture. They stand above us as the hierarchy in the clouds. And Vince McMahon's going to make an appearance to somehow decide whether the authority, who, you know, buzzkill every act in the company, get to take over again, even though they were never really ousted, or Shane McMahon gets to keep his job because the ratings went down, or they're pretending the ratings didn't go down, or something, or he's the voice of the fans, or he's finally listening to the fans, which makes no sense, because shouldn't it be that, like, these guys are winning their matches? I mean, if, you know, the stars would be the ones that are winning their matches, but, you know, we all know that the McMahons pick who wins, and even on the television and all that. But anyway, you know, it's such a huge issue, and particularly with how well the stipulation played out at WrestleMania, and how well it played out a year or so ago with that Survivor Series, when they kicked the authority out for, I don't know, three weeks. So that part is definitely there. So what are you looking forward to? What's the match you're looking forward to most? I mean, I'll run this down from bottom to top. Kalisto versus Ryback, U.S. title. Enzo and Cass versus the Vaudevillains, and boy, Enzo and Cass better win that, but I'm sure they will. Charlotte versus Natalya, with Ric Flair and Bret Hart in the respective corners, and this was, that really played out well on NXT about a year ago, or however long it's been, and I would expect it'll play out really well there. Cesaro versus Miz. How does Miz keep the title after being bent into a pretzel by Cesaro for however long this match lasts? Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens, and you've got to figure they're going to tear the house down. Ambrose versus Chris Jericho ought to be really good. And then AJ Styles is a great wrestler, and Roman Reigns is good enough that AJ Styles ought to be able to get a really good match out of him. So, but which one of these are you looking forward to?
Well, the top three, the last three you mentioned are what I would imagine 75% of the people are looking forward to. I'm just not sure what order. I really am looking forward to Zayn Owen, but because I followed the storyline they did in NXT, I've seen it, and I've seen their matches throughout the last decade or so. But Jericho Ambrose, I'm really excited about, and also the main event, the title match. But if I had to pick out of the three, I think I'd go with Ambrose Jericho because that's just a good classic kind of story being told.
Well, I really
nothing extra. Nothing extra about it. It's just a guy that you don't like versus a guy that you do like. They have reason not to like each other personally. They're both trying to get into the, obviously get themselves into the title picture. So professionally, they have, issues. It's just a solid all the way around matchup and storyline leading into it. And it should be a really good match.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I thought they did a great job with the video package with Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. I wish that they had, as good as that package was, I wish that we'd just seen it play out on Raw, the chapters after the NXT stuff, and they should book that. But still, I'm looking forward to that one. I just think those two guys, what a history, and they're finally getting a stage to real. I mean, they've had stages, no doubt, but this is a hell of a stage, and this is a hell of a deal for them. So I expect them to tear it down. And Natalya is Charlotte's best opponent, and she's very good and can get a great deal out of Charlotte. So I'm looking forward to that match.
I thought was the match of Charlotte versus Natalya. I thought was probably the best women's match in America of the year. I don't watch a ton of it, but at least that my eyes saw, and possibly, well, I don't want to say outside of America or whatever, but it was a really good match. It had everything. It had the build. It had the work, and then it had the emotion with Charlotte kind of. I mean, it was she arrived. I mean, I think that was at the Arrival pay-per-view or NXT special, and Paige had dropped the title, and they had the tournament, and it was, so she was crowned and arrived, and it was just, everything was there. So hopefully they get a really good amount of time to tell a really good story on Sunday.
Yeah,
a crowded card.
Yeah, exactly.
So everybody should have plenty of time to do their thing.
Yeah, exactly. I think you're right. I definitely think you're right. You ready for some phone calls?
Yeah, let's talk to some people. But I am waiting for the day, Bruce, when you come around to, and it's going to happen, and whether you admit it or not.
No, I don't like this already. I don't even know where you're going with this, and I don't like it.
When you come around on the Vault Villains, I mean, I've been...
Oh, for crying out loud.
I've been telling you for, a year or two.
Oh, man.
Those guys are great.
I'm telling you, if you take that exact act and you put it on Impact from... I don't even mean the Impact now because it's just it's sad right now. But it's like, if you take that act and you put them in Impact 5 years ago, and everybody be shaking their heads going, what the hell's wrong with Dixie Carter? Or Vince Russo, whoever came up with that cockamamie thing.
Party like it's 1899.
Oh, that was awful. Oh, God, you did that on purpose. That was just like, there was no party in 1899.
Look, as soon as Big E said the thing, I was like, if the Vaudevillains come out, they better say no, we're going to party like it's 1899. And then he did it, and I was giddy.
Well, you should be blamed for thinking that. And that it's bad enough you just even thought that and then got on television. Oh, God. It's like there is no party like it's 1899. What the hell? It's like, you know, I guess you could say the Roaring Twenties. I don't know. I mean, it's like there was nothing.
Like and you know, refined gentlemanliness, you know, yes. Jim Crow in full swing, you know, it's part of like 1899.
Okay, get a rope. All right. Let's roll to Phoenix, to Brian, longtime Torch VIP member and longtime listener to these shows. Brian, how you doing?
Hey, Bruce. Hey, Trav. Hey, Bruce, by the way, Trav writes you like the Desperados from WCW 2, so you know where his mind is going.
Thank you for pointing that out. Yes. Dutch Mantel and Randy Colley, and there was another one, Black Bart, who were looking for Stan Hansen, who was not even in the company, and they never found him. So anyway, Dutch Mantel, yeah.
Yeah, Trav, something for you to look up on Wikipedia, the Desperados, and Bruce was like, they were looking for Stan Hansen.
Yeah, I think they'd be probably on the WWE Network somewhere. Right up there. I mean, that would be like a great feud in a time machine, the Desperados versus the Vaudevillains. I'm right there with you, Brian. Appreciate that.
Well, I could have said Ding Dongs, but I decided to go Desperados.
Yeah, I think that's a better reference. That's more nuanced, kind of.
I agree. So my question for Trav, for you and this week, Bruce, is going to be that a year ago, Wade Barrett was crowned King Bear, and he won the King of the Ring tournament, and he beat Neville in the finals. So, of course, the rumor is that Wade Barrett's going to retire in a few months, and he was kicked out of League of Nations, so he's pretty much off of TV for right now. So my question, two parts for you, Trav, and for you, Bruce, is that, first of all, should they bring the King of the Ring back, yes or no? My take on that is that maybe give it 3 or 4 years before they reintroduce it and then hype it up a little bit better. And then my second question is, if they do bring it back this year or within a month or two, who would actually benefit from becoming King of the Ring? So again, should they bring it back, yes or no? I think a couple years and bring it back. And if they do bring it back this year, who would benefit from it? And I'll hang on and listen to it. I hope you both have a real good weekend. Thanks a lot.
Appreciate it, Brian. Go, Travis.
Yeah, mine's very cool. Easy. No, they should not bring the King of the Ring back.
Yeah, I'm like this. If they have the right person, and you would have thought that Wade Barrett was the right person, English accent, arrogant, big mouth, could put the robe on and kind of play to the royalty and play to the English royal gimmick and all that. But he won in such a half-assed way, and they did such a half-assed job with it. I don't, you know, he had no chance. And that's the problem to me is what if they do King of the Ring, I don't care if they do it or not, but if they do it, commit to it. Whatever they do, they should commit to and not just make it, oh, well, he got the prestigious King of the Ring, so we can beat him all the time because the King of the Ring will make up for it, because it won't, and how he's positioned and how he's put on the show won't. So I'm just – if the right piece of talent comes along, it doesn't have to be someone from England, but if the right piece of talent comes along and you go really far with it, then sorry. But it's been, you know, it's pretty much a joke gimmick. It always has been. And even from, you know, people look back and go, oh, Harley Race, the great Harley Race was the first King of the Ring. And it was put on him, you know, the gimmick was put on him because he was so serious about being the greatest wrestler on God's green earth and the NWA champion. He thought they were mocking him for thinking that he was the toughest man on earth. And he didn't exactly, you know, work really hard when he got it. He took the money, of course, but, you know, it was no. And you look at Jim Duggan, you look at, you know, Booker T, as Booker T thinks he can act. So let's let him out there with an English accent and make a fool out of himself and that kind of, and that's probably the most successful one in the modern era. So if it, you know, if you're going to do it and come up with a real reason to have it and put it on the right person. But, you know, if it never came back, it's not exactly a historic wrestling tradition that I would like cry over. I think it'd be easier just to do what Jerry Lawler did, put a crown on and have some guy arrogantly call himself the king. Well, you can't call yourself the king of sports entertainment, because that sounds stupid. And actually, king of wrestling with the crown was kind of with the margarine crown was kind of dumb too. But Jerry Lawler and Ernie Ladd made it work. So any more comments to that, Travis?
No. It seems like everybody with the King of the Ring had – it was kind of, not everybody, because I think Billy Gunn won, and he didn't do the – I don't think he did the step there and all that gimmick.
I don't
remember
that.
But you think
that,
of, like, Brock Lesnar and you know, he won. Edge won. It did do some – for a few people. It's the fact that you've had 20 or however many King of the Rings, and only maybe five people have been – you can say, oh, yeah, that definitely helped out or was integral or major part of their ascent. For Edge, it was a big deal in 01 when he beat Kurt Angle in the finals and was King of the Ring. And he kind of got established as a serious singles guy. And again, Lesnar rolling through that thing. And the next year, in 02, yeah, so that's probably about it that you can say, at least recently.
Yeah.
And Booker T in a different way. It just extended his career, gave him something to do.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so I mean I don't think this
and
is
then Regal went and ruined it for everybody with winning it and then getting popped the next week or two or whatever.
Yeah, that's true, because you just thought, God, if there's ever a guy that could play this just right, and then, yeah, he got drug suspended, and that was it. So,
yeah, remember, he was going to feud with Triple H over the world title on Raw, at least a TV feud.
Yeah, no, you're right.
All that went away.
Yeah. Let's roll to Scott from New Jersey, another longtime VIP member. Scott, I always say this to you, welcome to Friday.
Happy Friday, guys. Happy Friday. How's everyone doing?
Doing fine.
Doing all right.
Doing all right. Guys, just two quick things. First one, match I'm looking for. I think the pay-per-view, I think Payback could be on paper. I think it's looking like a better show than WrestleMania. I'm actually very excited for the show. And the match I'm most looking forward to is Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens. And I do say, though, it would be even – I really wish that the Intercontinental title was in the mix for that match if Owens would have kept it at WrestleMania, because I really think it could have elevated the Intercontinental title back to where it was. You know, I really think that could have put this kind of feud. And what do you guys think about that match?
Travis?
The IC title match?
No.
First, I do think the Zayn and Owens, and also the IC title match. I'm really hoping Cesaro gets the belt.
Zayn and Owens, it's just you know, another chapter in their, you know, story. History and rivalry. Miz Cesaro. I'm not sure if I care. Like, who wins? Like, oh, Miz wins and retains. Fine. I'm not a big fan of the act that they're doing with him and Maurice. I think it's so hack. You know, like, especially the first night of the act, they're doing the cucumbers and on the eyelids, and then you're yelling at the guy about brown Skittles, purple Skittles, whatever. It's so stupid. It's just so easy and hack and uncreative. And then again, with the puddle or the spilled soda, it's just so over the top and not nuanced. But it's something. And then he's doing the act, Bruce, that I thought Rock would have been much better. When he came back in 03 as the movie star, I thought he should always say cut and throw to his opponent, like in promos, and say, okay, you go, action. You know, this kind you know, I'm better than you because I'm in Hollywood. And but he would have been able to pull it off because it was real. Like, well, you know, he's probably got an agent that, like, got, you know, big-time agent and, you know, money in the bank and all that kind of stuff. And Cesaro and his return, I haven't been exactly – thrilled with. I mean, it's okay. I it'd be nice if he didn't play into Miz's movie shtick with the lines and, you know, the,
play Roddy Piper, classic actor for Roddy Piper and his bubblegum.
Yeah, I mean, that was all right. I mean, you know, I thought it was a cool line in response to something so ridiculous with the Miz doing the Liam Neeson taking stuff. So it's like, well, at least that was a cool line and it fit. And he's saying, I'm going to kick your ass now. But overall, whatever. Cesaro move.
Yeah, I'm kind of I'm like this about all of it. And I think that I just think there's more wonky lately. There's been more wonky scripted stuff, more stuff that just seems like it's either it's not performed very well or it's not very the material's not very good or both things where you're just kind of wincing during it. And definitely Miz just quoting lines from movies for no reason and Cesaro, whoever, standing there and looking at him while he does it just seems really awkward. But I think you hit on something, which is Cesaro's back in the mix, but he just got back in the mix and there's not a huge buildup for this. And then if Miz and Maryse are this act that they're trying to get going, it just seems unless they're just giving up on it right from the beginning. And I don't think they are because Maryse is an important part of, you know, the upcoming season of Total Divas. Then I just don't see this change happening here. I think that Miz, I think they've got to figure out a way. And part of it will be Cesaro will toss this guy all over the place. We'll toss Miz all over the place. But they've got to figure out a way to keep Cesaro strong, but have Miz retain the IC title. And I think Miz with the IC title and Maryse is going to be what we get for a while. And Miz, I think, is the consummate mid-card guy. And he's a mid-card wrestler. He's a mid-card act, you know, and they even like have him booked that way, you know, delusional movie star and delusional fake movie star. And
he wishes he was a mid-card movie star.
Right. Yeah. Oh, he wishes a mid-card movie star. I mean, mid-card
no,
WWE
totally.
Superstar.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's no, yeah, no doubt. And I think that's where it is. And, you know, hopefully to me, Cesaro needs to be championship wrestler and not, I mean, that's how you use a guy like that with that kind of talent and the way he holds himself, the way he wrestles. So they need to somewhere down the line, fairly soon, get him into that mix. And, you know, he's got to overcome the skepticism of Vince McMahon. He's got to overcome, you know, doing better promos.
His nationality.
And his nationality. Yes.
Yeah.
We can't have
that. Overcome that.
Oh yeah, that's a big, you know, a different nationality is certainly a big handicap in today's world. So let's go to our friend Darrell from Georgia. Darrell, you're up on PW Torch Livecast.
How y'all doing today, Bruce and Trav?
What's up, man?
Not a thing. I got two things for y'all today. After listening to the fix with Todd from earlier in the week, I got a question about everything. I think payback myself is a pivotal moment for right now when you're talking about ratings and all that stuff for WWE and the direction that they're going, because I kind of feel how the slide is going down that they could maybe even hit below a 2.0 before Memorial Day, depending on the way that they go. So I wanted to ask you guys, I know Todd said that Roman was a failure and stuff like that. I wanted to hear what y'all thought, and if they continue down the path, could that continue to slide down in the ratings? And my second thing is, with Eric Young showing up in NXT, and from the clips that I've seen, he seemed more of a star and more bigger than he ever did in TNA. I wanted to know, how does NXT be making stars feel more big? And what did y'all think about him showing up in NXT from the clip that they showed? And that's it for me.
Good stuff. Let's go. Let's take it backwards, I guess. Eric Young, I mean, Eric Young is a decent talent, and two things about it. Number one, he needed a new stage. He was the guy that had been in the territory too long. They played too many different roles in the territory, and no matter how good he was or wasn't, no one was really going to take him seriously after all those years in TNA. That's part of it. The other part of it is, it's one thing to be in an ice cold brand, and then it's another thing to take that same person, vaudevillains, but to take that same person and put them on the cool put them in the cool wrestling show and have them booked in a way where they seem like they're important. And that's what they did with Eric Young. So I think that's, you know, I think that's a part of it. I'm curious whether his nipples have turned color, but yeah, I mean, I think that's, you know, I think that's part of it. The other part, and I should say Todd Martin's The Fix, the brand new, not so brand new now, but the newest
that's
show.
It's a year old now.
It's a year old now. And the newest show on PW Torch, for VIP members, hosted by Wade Keller, and also a particular favorite of every friend I talk to, who loves to remind me of how good that is, and then make some comments about my show, at Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, which will be taped this weekend. And I had that experience this afternoon, so that was anyway. But Todd Martin in The Fix, Roman Reigns, you can't say he's a success. I mean. And I don't know about pivotal. I don't know if payback is pivotal, just in the sense of things are trending downward. And I don't know that there's like one show that's going to trend them back that way. I always think good shows do better. You know, good shows help. It can help to turn the tide or help to add to momentum if you got some momentum going. And this should be a good show. But how they have just taken the context away from everybody and kept everybody kind of in the same place. I'm sure WWE's telling itself, wait till John Cena gets back, wait till Seth Rollins gets back and whoever, but that's right. Not the problem. The problem is, the problem's going to be Shane McMahon and Stephanie McMahon and Triple H and acting like that's more important than championship wrestling with championship wrestlers. And that's, it's going to take, it's good. There's a lot of things that need to be done. So, I think we're going to see, I think we're getting down to those, we're getting down to that two rating and below that two rating. And at some point, all the excuses and all the, well, they're on other platforms and they're so strong in social media and all that kind of crap. There's going to come a day where, there's going to come a day that rating is not going to make sense money-wise for even as a loss leader for the USA Network. And there's another, when the other contract comes up. So they make a lot of money off of television. That's why that third hour, we ain't seeing that third hour that kills, that's killing the show slowly, that's killing WWE slowly, we're not going to see go away anytime soon. So, And Roman Reigns is part of the problem. And the other part of the problem is who the hell takes his place, because they have not positioned, at least they protected him, but they haven't protected anybody else. Who takes that guy's place? So that's, but I don't know. I look out there and Roman Reigns is getting booed all the time. It's just, and they're losing fans in key demographics. It's not a good scene. I mean, they've got a base and they've got a really loyal audience that hates them and will spend a lot of money to go to a show and sit on their hands or chant things that have nothing to do with what they're seeing or sometimes cheer the wrestler. So it's a really weird situation. Travis?
Yeah, Roman Reigns is a failure. Roman Reigns is, the creative around Roman Reigns is a failure. The management around Roman Reigns is failing. It's amazing that within a year, I guess it's been, 12 months? I don't remember. When did you call for Vince McMahon and step down? About a year ago?
I guess so, yeah. Like
sometime last summer, maybe?
Yes.
And you had these two prominent, I guess Todd, that respect, voices in wrestling journalism saying the leader needs to go and the top guy is an absolute unequivocal failure. That's amazing for a successful company that your leader and your number one product is failing and out of touch. But he is and they are.
Well, I mean, there's some things here. I mean, they are strong enough financially where there is no, and also. In kind of as a legend
the
of promotion,
brand. I mean,
the brand, and then as kind of a legend of promotion where Wall Street looks at the guy who does need to step down from creative, from everyday creative, Vince McMahon, 70 years old, there has been no person that age running a major league professional wrestling show creatively that has done anything but fail. And Vince McMahon is right there at that point. And you just look at how run out of his back pocket the Shane McMahon Undertaker angle at WrestleMania was, and the consequences afterwards. It's just that's harmful stuff, and it's been that way for a while. But he's not going anywhere until he decides that he is, and that pressure hasn't come through Wall Street. And so, yeah, I said that, but I didn't expect it to happen. And that's, you know, that's kind of, and I don't expect Roman Reigns to get dethroned anytime soon either. I think that they've got this cushion where they can just do what the hell they want to, and they've got enough people that, but they're losing them. They're losing fans. But they've got enough money and enough people that, that will, you know, stay loyal to them because they're wrestling. You know, they like wrestling, they like pro wrestling, and for most people, they want Major League, and they're the Major League, and that's this Bruce, kind of a shame.
Listening to the 10 years ago audio, it just, you know, shines a light or makes some things very clear. Like they've built this, you know, their company around the brand of WWE, the brand of WrestleMania, like, and pushed that really hard for the last 15 years. And you see it when you step back and look at the WrestleManias, just in WrestleMania specifically of the last 10 years. They talked about the main event was Cena versus Triple H at Mania 22 in Chicago in 06. And the co-main event, which was getting all the hype on TV, was Michaels versus McMahon. And only one time, I think, in the last 10 years, twice, Rock versus Cena, the one in Miami, not so much the rematch in New Jersey, in New York. And then the Vince versus Donald Trump stuff, right? And that was I guess that was in the last 10 years for sure. Those are like the only two times where you can look and say, oh, that match or that act or that thing drew, and everything else is WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's true.
Again, even Cena, Rock 2, or Flair, Michaels. I mean, you can argue that, but I just think they were just past that where it would be make that huge of a difference. But you know, Cena, Rock made a difference. You know, Trump on that show made a difference. You know, Floyd Mayweather to a lesser extent in that match with Big Show made a difference. There are very few of those you can actually point out. And I think it goes to the fact that it's a brand. The brand is strong, but that doesn't last. How long does that last? How many? I don't think the last two WrestleManias were anything to write home about. 31 in San Francisco was okay, and this year was, you know, it was okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's kind of a
special, but that was pulled out of a hat. It was on its way to being in. Okay, WrestleMania.
But on the other hand, they did $17 million live gate. They did their biggest.
Oh,
you know,
I get that. And but all how that, many so. Times? How many times?
Oh, I agree. I've been saying that for a long time. I've been saying that for a long time. I mean, I think.
Is it momentum from years past?
And
when it ends, but Bruce, when it ends, or when it like comes, you know, comes crashing down and it hurts inside. It's not like, oh, it's a bad year or a bad 2 years. That's a, you know, 5-6 decade-long WrestleMania stretch where all of a sudden it's lost its luster. It's not, you know, I mean, just think of, you know, WrestleMania, you know, 7 through 13, that stretch where it was just it's WrestleMania, it's March. It wasn't the big brand any of them, you know, with the Pontiac or even at Trump Towers and just the hype and that kind of stuff behind it. So it can peter off and not take a lot to get back, you know, trajectory going up.
Yeah.
And I don't remember his second.
Oh, the first question was y'all just took on it with the failure of Roman,
yeah, we did.
Roman Reigns stuff. Okay.
Yeah, we did.
With EY.
Yeah.
Eric Young. Right. I didn't. Eric Young. I liked Eric Young 13 years ago. I liked Eric Young when he was, you know, no matter how many times you've seen, he's made his entrance and his pyro goes off and he has, you know, he would get all shaken up. I didn't like Eric Young as the leader of the world, global elite,
And I didn't like Eric Young as – I think he's okay, but it's a crazy guy, pile driving people. Eric Young at however, you know, on the second, you know, later half of 30 in NXT doesn't excite me. He's not. If Austin Aries is going to struggle to be a draw in NXT like Joe or like for sure Nakamura or any of those type of guys are, Eric Young is going to be half of that. I think Aries is half of the top NXT type guy. So, I mean, is he – I don't get why sign Eric Young. What is he going to do? What's he going to bring? I don't get this move at all.
No.
I don't think Bobby Roode should be around, but player, coach, whatever, fine. Okay. I just don't want him on my TV.
Well, the word, you know, the word is that they like Eric Young more than – I mean, Eric Young can do more entertaining, I guess, but they like Eric Young more than they like Bobby Roode. So, I don't see big things – for either one of them. I think that, you know, I think that Eric Young works in NXT for the most part. And, you know, is a veteran that helps bring along, you know, the guys they're really interested in. And I don't think there's any further than that. I don't know. I don't even know with Bobby Roode.
I didn't see or get into the spoilers, but did he interrupt Joe or get in Joe's face?
Yeah. Yeah.
So he's going to be a babyface and he's going right to the title.
But that doesn't mean he wins it or moves on from anything. I mean, it's just
he's
important in NXT and, you know, position in NXT where then you can, you know, then you can move him around to work with guys. I mean, that's what we'll see. I mean, that's what I'm, that's what I'm guessing. I don't see more than, you know, more than that. Let's appreciate the call and let's move to another one of our guys, Kylan from New Jersey. Kylan, welcome back.
Thank you, Bruce. Nice to be back. Unfortunately for Travis, my question concerns Bobby Roode. Now that we're going to be seeing Eric Young show up in NXT soon, my question is going to be, how soon do you and Bruce predict Bobby Roode will show up in NXT?
I think that, you know, I mean, we'll see. I think that I don't know that he signed a deal with him yet. And we didn't know that Eric Young had signed a deal until Eric Young showed up. So I don't know what other options that he has. And he's got a family to support. And, you know, he wasn't happy with TNA. And so, we'll, you know, again, we'll see. But I would say if we don't see him in the next 2 months, then maybe we don't see him. But if we do, there he is. I don't know if that, helps or doesn't help, Travis.
If he's going to debut or show up in NXT on TV, it'll be before SummerSlam. I'll say in the next 4 months.
Yeah.
Shows up.
Yeah. Well, maybe 4 months. Yeah. I could definitely see that. But if the idea is he's, you know, player coach, another one of the, you know, one of those guys that's there to help work with other guys, you know, it depends. I mean, I think that Bobby Roode's also a guy. Cesaro's better for the role, but I think Bobby Roode's also a guy where you get the best out of him if he's playing championship wrestler, and maybe he plays championship wrestler in NXT or at least championship contender. And, you know, like you said, they put Eric Young immediately in line on NXT to challenge Joe. So we'll see where, you know, we'll see where that goes. 503, you're up next on the PW Torch Livecast.
I know that sound.
Okay. You know that sound, huh?
Yeah, sounded like something was getting grinded up.
Oh man, let's not grind up anything. All right. Well, let's go to the grind. Let's go to Boris from Chicago. Boris, welcome to PW Torch Livecast.
Hey guys, how y'all doing?
What's up, man?
Hey Trav, this one for Trav and then two about wrestling.
What do you think about Trav and two about wrestling? Okay. All right, fair enough.
Game of Thrones, okay? Game of Thrones, okay? What did you think about, you know, first
the premiere? You know, like all the premieres, they got to cram a bunch of stuff in, you know, to set up, you know, the next 10 or the next 9 episodes. I like the stuff with Arya, with her being blind and then the girl coming down and, I'll be back tomorrow. She's got to fight and learn how to fight as a blind person. You know, the big shocker is Melisandre and what that was about. Oh, man. Sure do know how to, you know, anyway, kill the fantasy, let's just say. But it was a good, decent episode. I liked the stuff with the Night's Watch and how everybody's not all gung-ho, like, yeah, we killed our leader, and, you know, let's celebrate. That would be interesting, how they handle being in that, locked in that room, or what's his face, with the half knuckles, I can't remember his name, Davos. I mean, that crew. So, good stuff. So, yeah. What's your wrestling questions?
With Eric, of course, is, you know, Eric Young. And with Eric Young coming in, right, sound like he heard the podcast with his promo. Sound like he heard the podcast with Matt Morton, because exactly what Matt Morton said sounded just like that promo he cut. And I was like, wow. And then what do you think is, with all these guys coming in, are we going to have an overwhelming push of talent from outside of WWE, which will force them to use these guys, unlike the entertainment way they're trying to do, because they're bringing in guys that's already, and the example is with Eric Young going straight for the title, just like if it was territory days.
You know, Boris, I look at Eric Young, and he seems to me to be right out of TNA trying to be like WWE. I mean, he's, you know, he's got the comedy chops, he's got the, you know, he's got the goofiness, or he tries to be, you know, or he plays it fairly straight, but he's still kind of crazy, or he's Charles Manson or whatever it is. That's right out of WWE to me. So, it's, you know, I don't think that any of this means they're going to, you know, I talk about this a lot, and I should say this too. Matt Morgan, what Boris was referring to was Matt Morgan's interview with Wade Keller on PW Torch. And if you're a listener, you can go to PW Torch Livecast and get a good bit of the interview. And of course, if you're a VIP member, you can get the entire interview. And that's what he was referring to as far as Matt Morgan goes. Yes.
Well, Bruce, unless Eric Young listened to, which is very much possible. I mean,
it's about to say.
But he could have listened to the Matt Morgan Thursday interview at whatever, 1 in the afternoon, or is Wade doing the Thursday at 1 in the afternoon? Whatever it is. And then at the taping later that evening, you know, later that evening, and incorporated it. But probably not.
Yeah, I know. I mean, and a lot of times people have got a sense of what works. You know, somebody else has that same sense too. So that's, you know, it just depends. But I mean, he pointed out something that you know, he pointed out some smart stuff, I guess, from both sides. But yeah, it's definitely worth saying. But no, I think that the dichotomy between the NXT approach, that NXT is preparing acts to move to WWE Raw, and Raw and SmackDown have a different approach that we all know about. That's interesting. Is this new talent going to force them to do anything? If we know Vince McMahon's career, Vince McMahon's going to force the new talent to adjust to his approach. So we'll see. I mean, to me, the test case is Nakamura. So we'll see. And I should say this: last weekend, Wade Keller and I got into a nice little debate about should Nakamura at how much they're paying him, should he be remaining on the NXT roster and then wait, and at 36 years old, wait till he gets to, you know, wait till some other time to come to Raw come to SmackDown, come to the main roster, or should they, for the sake of what they're paying him, get him up there? And you know, it all depends. Either way, it depends on doing it the right way and doing it a way that takes advantage of his talent and puts him in a position to get the most bang for their buck. And,
And
that's a big part of it.
And by, you know, when you say he's 36, should they wait? And by wait, you mean till maybe after SummerSlam or sometime this fall. Not should they, I don't want it that the implication is, should they wait till he's 38 and pay 2 years worth of dues in NXT to then come up to the main roster? It's no, should they wait 4 months and bring him up?
Yeah, I mean, it's a real interesting thing. We'll see. I mean, to me, that's the test case more than Eric Young, more than anybody else. And so we'll see where that goes. Let's go to Australia and talk to Jason. Jason, welcome back to the PW Torch Livecast.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I'll get straight into it. Look, Roman Reigns isn't a failure. The Vince McMahon experiment of pushing Roman Reigns as a main event babyface, that's the failure. I mean, if you're a booker, if you're a promoter over the years, and you look at Roman Reigns, the first thing you got to see with this guy is a dollar sign. I mean, he's a walking dollar sign. So I don't believe he's a failure. Vince McMahon's vision of what he's doing with him, that's the failure. And I know that's what you're alluding to, but I think that should be clarified because I think that's being unfair to him.
No, I didn't allude to it. I specifically said Roman Reigns is a failure. But Vince McMahon and management around him and the creative around him is a failure. So I include there, it's all failure. And Roman Reigns cannot be separated from it. I know he's not writing the scripts and putting it and making them say bad lines, but he's strong enough or position wise where, you know, you should not go out there and say crap. But it's also he's a failure because not just when he won't stand up for himself or not say stupid lines, he just isn't the best at executing or making craft better. He goes out and, you know, just the body language and he's just not a good performer. He's not in that sense. So he is a failure. But I definitely get what you're saying, though, Dave. Put it more on the management and creative side, for sure.
He's a failure in this role, but, you know, when he was in the Shield, he wasn't a failure. When he is presented as a guy that's coming to Dean Ambrose's aid, it's like the cooler, bigger brother, he's not a failure. I think it's got more to do with the promotion. But, you know, let me ask you this, right? You talk about, some people have talked about Roman Reigns being blamed for these ratings going down, but realistically, in this era, who has proven to be a ratings draw over the 3 hours? Because we've seen when Brock Lesnar comes back, really doesn't make an impact to the ratings. Cena, yeah, might pop us slightly for 1 week, but then they go back down to where they were. In this, has WWE, Bruce and Travis, created an environment where it's almost impossible to beat for someone to be a consistent rating draw?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Go, Travis.
Yeah, I mean, even Stone Cold Steve Austin at his height. Yeah, at his height of popularity.
I heard that.
You know, he was
yeah,
in,
I picked
know,
up on that too.
He was in a bunch of segments, mainly because he wasn't in wrestling segments because he was hurt, but he was in a lot of segments. So that was over the course of 2 hours, and he was on fire as a character. Even if you got somebody really popular, Brock Lesnar a year or 2 years ago, it's still a 3 hour show. I'm not going to wait around for him, or when he finally does show up, oh, good, now I can go
90
and, you know, do
seconds.
Whatever I want to do, you know, had planned for the rest of the evening. It's tough to get people to stick around for one specific day that's, like, really over, that they don't have that one. So, yes, to answer your original question, nobody has, because it's damn near impossible. I don't know if you had, Raw in 1998 was 3 hours consistently. It would have been a worse show.
60 seconds.
It would have been less over for it. And
oh, exactly.
Rock and Triple H and D, you know, all those guys.
And, you know, here's the other thing. You know, when they introduced the 3 hours, and it's coming around about the 4-year anniversary mark when this happened, No, it's funny. If you look at basic economics, if you're a manufacturer like, say, WWE is of their product, when you increase supply of a product, when there isn't an increase in demand for it, the value of your product drops. I don't recall there being a demand from the consumer like us, the people watching, saying, oh, we need an extra hour of Raw. So what's happened now is our Raw has become devalued. It's seen as less important. And the other thing is that when that happens, your product loses value. And my thing is that I'm merging
with the fact that you can see it everywhere and on any type, any platform.
Exactly. And you apply this rule to any other type of industry or basic economic theory. This is what's happening with WWE. And the worst thing that's happened, Bruce, and you've alluded to this before, it's like a promoter's worst nightmare. Now people that have realized our Raw is too long and they can't be bothered, now they're skipping it. Now they realize, well, you know what, if I skip 1 week, life goes on. And you don't want people to think that life goes on if they miss your product. But that's what's happening. And as a result, the ratings are decreasing. Now, the key thing is when the WWE higher-ups were discussing this new deal 4 years ago with USA Network, what was the watermark level that they said? Now, did they say, look, if you bring us to 3 hours, it may drop to 2.8, 2.9? I highly doubt 2.2 was discussed, and definitely below 2 was discussed. I would like to know what was the mark that USA Network claimed as being acceptable for the 3 hours. That's the key to me.
You know, I'm not privy to that.
Something we would know.
Yeah, I'm not privy to that discussion, but I'll say this. I bet that wasn't something that WWE said. The ratings will go down if you get the 3 hours. I bet what they said is we have characters, we have stars, and more is better. And more is better.
We're like live sports.
Yeah, we're like live sports.
And nonsense they try to peddle.
Yeah, and you know the NFL games are 3 hours, and look how popular they are. And the truth is, a better product, it's workable, but it's not. You know, it really isn't. And I bet they didn't go. This is an acceptable loss of ratings. I bet they went, you're going to get the same rating. You're going to get a better rating because now we've got a new generation led by Roman Reigns who's coming in, and we've got John Cena who's segueing into the into the Babe Ruth role, into the legend role, and we're just great. And so pay us more money, and we'll make it work. And they haven't. And I do think it's not a pro football game. It's not a basketball, and a basketball game shouldn't be 3 hours either. It's not where you've got the narrative of one story. You've got all these stories crammed in together that compete for attention from each other, and none of them really count. And that's Dean Ambrose and Kevin Owens flopped. It was a really good match, but it didn't have the context where people were excited about it and people were tired after 3 hours. I think that, I think it's a bitch, no doubt.
Before, in the winter.
Yeah, it's a bitch is what it is.
It wasn't exactly
a
fresh metro.
Yeah. So.
Bruce, just quickly, myself, I'm a big basketball fan. And, here in Australia, with our National Basketball League, they actually changed the time in the quarters from 12 minutes to 10. And I know they do that in college where you've got 2 20-minute halves, but they have a game finish under 2 hours. It's nice, it's clean, it's crisp, and you feel like that every minute counts. I try to watch NBA games because I'm a big NBA fan, but I just find they go too long. So that you're right about the 3 hours. And just quickly, in relation to Cesaro and The Miz, what I think is going on here is I believe that all the writers are a massive fan of Cesaro, but they're frustrated that Vince McMahon will not get behind this guy. So they're trying to present him in a way where he's showing his quote-unquote entertainment value to try and give something to Vince. I feel like they're throwing stuff against the wall to show, listen, this guy's a bit of a personality. Just get behind him. I feel like it's the writers going into bat for Cesaro, doing whatever they can to try and get him over that hump with McMahon. So that's what I feel is going on here.
Well, also, if fans get behind Cesaro, and not just the Cesaro section, that stuff, but if the whole WWE universe gets behind the guy, then Vince will take another look at him. I think that's part of it too. But it's it's still miscast. He's still not. He's okay at that, but Wade Keller and I have talked about for years. Kurt Angle with that stupid cowboy hat on his head playing the ukulele. He's pretty damn good at that. But it was such a waste. It was like, you can find guys to do that all the time. You got Kurt Angle who can play championship wrestler better than anybody, and championship wrestler is a more valuable role for something like the WWE than goofball with a ukulele and a hat that doesn't fit. So you can get that stuff. I think there's a lot of agendas going on here, and there's a lot of people working at cross purposes and higher up than higher up than just those poor guys and women on that riding crew. So there it is.
And Bruce, just one more thing. If I can just go back to Roman Reigns just quickly, I had this thought before, I wanted to bring it up. If you're Roman Reigns, right, you're obviously making a lot of money with merchandise. I was just thinking from his point of view, if they did turn him heel, how does he realistically make up that merch money that he would be getting? Because remember Punk on the podcast said, yeah, I'll go heel, but, you know, little Johnny will stop buying my hoodie. If Reigns was to turn heel, how does he make up that money? You know, because is he going to make it up for his house show attendance is going to increase? Probably not. Network subscriptions? Maybe, maybe not. Is there going to be enough for him to substitute for that loss of merch money from his point of view? How do you make it appealing to him?
The only way I can think of is you say you're miscast as the face of the company, and we get another face of the company in here. The rising tide's going to lift all boats, including you, and that's going to be a hard one to do. I mean, yeah, you're right. I mean, if he's a major merchant, then is the guy that's coming along, and it's not his choice, and you just move him out. But is the guy coming along going to sell more merchandise than Roman Reigns does at this point, where you need to set him up so he does? And those are all things to consider, and those are all things with Reigns. And, you know, I've said this. I just don't buy that that people are going to get really excited about Roman – who don't like Roman Reigns, who boo when he comes out, and it's go-away heat. It's like, we don't want to see you, that he turns heel, and then he's such a good heel or that his performance level changes. Or they go, we just want him to turn heel, we got our way, and now we're happy. The psychology of all that just seems really screwy to me.
Yeah, but some of these hardcore, I know what you're saying, but I actually believe that if he does turn, I mean, think about it. You know, Roman Reigns presenting himself, to me, I like when Kevin Owens says, I'm the victim here. I like that. Roman Reigns portray himself as an underdog who's not the underdog, showing that he went through all these odds when he really didn't. I mean, you look at this whole year, if he was a heel, you've got Cena, you've got Ambrose, you've got Lesnar, you've got Rollins, you possibly got Rock next year. I mean, your whole year's mapped out.
But you know,
the
story of him on...
looking at,
there's two different stories here. One is the real life narrative, where he was entitled to what he got, and people resent that. Then there's the narrative on the television, and the narrative on our television, the story they've told the whole time is he really has come through a whole lot of crap. He really has been an underdog who fought through and got that title. So you've got a dichotomy there. You've got a real problem there. I mean, that's, you know, because how do you play? How do you switch the television story to he was a spoiled brat who got chosen, who didn't deserve to be chosen? So, I don't know. I mean, most people look at him at the real life narrative.
I mean, that's when the guy like Shane comes into play. If Roman turns heel while Shane's still in or now firmly in charge of Raw, and Roman turning, you know, to the dark side and finally, you know, maybe goes full-fledged heel. Shane's there as a voice of management and authority to say, like, I might not have been around for the first 2 years or a year of Rise, Roman, but I know what it was like. I had people tell me, you know, you were the most coddled, this, that, you know, and actually just play into that.
Yeah.
So I don't want to, you know, I don't want to hear you complaining about being mistreated or disrespected because you got opportunity after opportunity. And then you say, then you won your matches, you know, and you took the most of those opportunities, but don't sit here crying about blah, blah, blah. There's a way to
cheer. Yeah, maybe there is.
Yeah, I know. Bruce, I know what you're saying because the commentators and WWE have told the narrative about how Reigns has been an underdog. The fortunate thing is, this is not JR that's been telling this narrative. This has been Cole and JBL and Byron Saxton, who really have no credibility with the audience. So if they turn on a dime, people are more likely to accept it. So that's the only bright side to that.
That's quite the bright side. I appreciate Jason, as always. And Travis, I thought
well,
it was a good
real,
show.
Real
yes,
quick,
go ahead.
I did want to mention our weekend this summer, has officially been stretched now to a week.
Yes, yes. I'm in.
And a weekend that was already going to be lit, it seems like it's going to just be just absolutely on fire now if all goes according to plan. It's could be. I have some questions about as far as like let's just say paraphernalia in the life who's in charge of that. But
I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. I just want you to know, in the summertime, I go to bed at 8:30. So I just I go get the senior discount. Eat at 4:30. Might have a light beer at about 7:30 and watch Jeopardy, and then that's about it. So
I was already excited to go. Now I'm just absolutely stoked in 78 days can't pass.
Yeah, we'll talk off the air about it too. We got to make some arrangements, but yeah, it's going to be cool. And part of this is going to Iowa, and Wade's going to be there. Dave Meltzer, whole bunch of wrestling.
Hell, there's a whole
big
like,
time.
Before Iowa thing there. It's like, oh wow, so.
So yeah, it's a cool deal. So, I'm just kind of trying to get to the summer first, but yeah,
I'm going to brag that I'll be spending a week and weekend with Wade Keller, Bruce Mitchell, Todd Martin, and to a lesser extent Dave Meltzer. But I mean, come on, be jealous.
Let's see what you say after that week's over. After we're sitting in that car going, after I'm sitting in that car complaining to Todd about Todd. So. bitching at Wade, so yeah, it's cool. It's gonna be great. It's gonna be a good deal. So I appreciate everybody listening. Good show, Travis. Talk to you very soon. And I should say that the Grappler's on with Pat McNeil substituting for Jim Valley, and then Pat McNeil and I will take over next Saturday, Jim Valley show, because Jim Valley lives the life of a bon vivant. So that can happen. Anyway, I appreciate everybody listening. Good show. Appreciate all the callers. Thanks for listening to the PW Torch Livecast.